But we'll have to start. Okay, we'll start one time with homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, so this is September 29th, 2014. This is the new course in reading Pali, Chapter 6, Further Readings. And I think this is actually the third class on the further readings. And we're on Section 2. This is page 91. Okay, so I'll recite the verse line by line, then you repeat after. Kodano dubano hoti.
Kodano dubano hoti.
Atto dukam piseti so.
Atto dukam piseti so.
Atto atang gahit vana.
Atto atang gahit vana.
Anatang adipajati.
Anatang adipajati.
Yeah, the verse is not so easy, actually. Okay, so kodano is what case?
Nominative singular.
Right, nominative singular, and the gender is
masculine.
So the word kodano means an angry person. The noun koda means anger. We just started. So koda means anger, and kodana means an angry person. So here the angry person, dubano. So the word vana originally means color, but it takes on an extended meaning of beauty. And dubano is the opposite. It's the negation of vana. So it's literally like discolored or ugly. And then, of course, hoti is simply the equational verb. So the angry person is or becomes ugly. And then atto is just the same as atta. But I think for the metrical reasons, the short A turns into an O to make it a longer syllable. So atto is just like also or then. Dukkang here means it functions as an adverb with sati. Sati means sleep. And the so at the end is the nominative singular pronoun. And normally it would come before. It would be atta so dukkang sati. But this is because it's a verse, it has to fit into the meter. And so the word order is changed. Who can say that in Chinese? Chen Ho, what Chen Ho? Yanda.
Maybe Ming Ti Master. Can you translate?
Do you understand the point? Okay. In normal Pali, in the prose, we would say, so dukampi seti. So means he. Dukkang is, in this case, miserably, with suffering, and sati is sleeps. So normally, in prose, we would say, so dukkampi sati. But this is verse or poem, and so the poem has a meter, like a rhythm, And so the word order is changed to fit the rhythm. So you have, if you say, ato so dukampiseti, I know it sounds all right to me, but I guess for the experts in meter, we'd find it faulty. So, ato dukampiseti. So what happens, the so is put at the end in order to fit the rhythm, the meter. Do you understand now?
Yeah.
Maybe because it's a little difficult maybe for Jishu and... Okay, but the meaning is, okay, atto is something like also or then, and so is he, and then dukkham would be, in this case, in English we would say badly, and then the p means also, and sati is sleeps. So these are like some of the disadvantages of becoming angry. So one becomes ugly, and also one sleeps badly, one sleeps miserably, you know, with a lot of suffering, because one can't fall asleep, because one is always thinking about the person one is angry with. Okay, then the next line, the point, it's subtle, so it's somewhat difficult. Okay, the idea here, atto is like also a then. Atang means some good or benefit. Gahetvana, what grammatical form is gahetvana?
Gerund.
Yeah, this is the gerund used in verse in order to fill out the meter, so we put the n. So it's the same as gahetva, which means having gotten, having gained. So having gained some good or some benefit, anuttang adipajati. Let me see how they render adipajati. Yeah, they say it attains, reaches, comes to, or maybe better rendering in this case, it turns out for. Then anatang means harm. It's the opposite of atang. So atang is good or benefit. Anatang is harm. So when the angry person gets some benefit, it actually turns out, because he's angry, for his harm. So if he gets some money, then instead of using it wisely because of his anger, he'll use the money foolishly. Well, what other case can we think of? Angry person getting a benefit and then it turns out for his harm. Maybe he gets a car and then he uses it to run over the person that he hates.
Or he could meet somebody who could be a good friend, but he's so angry,
yeah,
he attacks them.
Yeah. Okay, so putting it all together. Okay. The angry person becomes ugly, and he also sleeps badly. Then, having gained some benefit, it turns out to be harmful, or it turns out for his harm.
I'm sorry, adijati is the meaning is what?
Of what?
Adipajati.
It's a very rare word. So the meaning that I give to it, it turns out for. They give in the book, that he gives, attains, reaches, doesn't work so well here. Comes to is okay. So he gains some benefit and it comes to his harm. Okay. Any questions about this?
So Bhante,
yes.
Is the meaning that even when he gains a benefit, he's kind of spiteful about it?
You could fill out the meaning sort of according to one's own imagination.
Oh.
This is just what it says, but you know how we interpret it. You know, you could find different ways to interpret it.
Anattang adipajati, it still leads
to his harm, yeah. The example I gave, he gets some money, and then he uses the money for, maybe because he's angry, he wants to get rid of the anger, and so he goes to the, to get rid of the discomfort, he goes to the bar, the tavern, and starts drinking till he gets drunk. Then maybe he gets into an auto accident because he's crossing the street while drunk. Or he buys a weapon, then he attacks with the weapon the person he's angry with, then the police arrest him and he goes to prison. Okay, so different ways to interpret it. Okay, let's continue the next verse. Tato kayena vachaya.
Tato kayena vachaya.
Vadang katvana kodano.
Vadang katvana kodano.
Kodabi bhuto puriso.
Kodabi bhuto puriso.
Dana janing nigachati.
Dana janing nigachati.
Okay, tato just means, in this case, then. It's just almost, the word is used just to fill up the meter. So you have two syllables are taken care of. Okay, kayena is what case?
Instrumental,
singular, meaning what?
By the body.
Yeah, by body or with the body. And vachaya is also instrumental, meaning by speech. And why does vachaya end differently from kayena? Why not vachena? Carolyn?
Because we put the N in the kayena.
You haven't been working
no,
on
I
your...
No, I didn't do anything.
Why vachaya ends differently from kayena? Ulian?
I don't know vachaya. What means vachaya?
Vachaya. What does it mean? We said
speech.
By speech.
By speech.
Yeah.
It's feminine.
Right. Okay. That was Aya Santusika said. Yeah. Vacha is feminine. Kaya is masculine. These are like class, poly class 3 questions. Okay. So. Then, by body and by speech, vadang katva kodano. So the subject is kodano, the angry person. Then katvana is what grammatical form?
Gerund.
And again, it has that na added to fill out the meter. Then vadang, sometimes it means murder. Let's see what meaning they give here. They have harm, killing, destruction. So the angry person having done, generally the meaning is stronger than harm. The usual meaning is killing or murder. Then, but with speech, of course you could do murder with speech too by giving a command to others. But let's just say harm or injury to others. So then, having done injury by body or by speech, the angry person having done, committed some injury to others by body or by speech, then kod abibuto puriso. So puriso is the person. Koda, of course, is anger. And abibuta means overcome, overpowered. So kod abibuto is overpowered by anger. A person overpowered by anger. Dana janing nigachati. Nigachati means to undergo, to experience, to undergo. And dana is wealth, and jani is loss, loss of wealth. Perhaps because he's required to pay a fine. So probably here, vada isn't actually murder, because if he murdered somebody, then the king would have him imprisoned or executed. But he does some harm to others by body or speech. And then, because he's overcome by anger, so he does some harm to others by body or by speech, and then he is fined and he undergoes loss of wealth. Do you know what fine means? Yeah, it doesn't mean, in this case, doesn't mean good or excellent, but a penalty you have to pay. Like if you get a traffic ticket, you have to pay a fine. Okay, now, any question on this verse? Okay, should we go on to the next? Okay, Koda Samadha Samato.
Koda Samadha Samato.
Ayasakyang Nigachati.
Ayasakyam Nigachati.
Nyati Mita Suhajacha.
Nyati Mata Suhajacha.
Pari Vajanti Kodanang.
Pari Vajanti Kodanang.
Okay, so we have in the first line a long compound, koda samadha samato. Okay, so koda is anger, and samadha is something like madness. Actually, you could actually see the English word and the Pali actually come from the same, you know, they're connected, same derivation. Because in samadha, sam is a prefix. So you take the prefix away, you see madha is madness in the sense of craziness. And samato is the past participle related to samadha. So you could say the becoming, having become crazy or crazed with the craziness of anger, or maddened with the madness of anger. One who is maddened with the madness of anger, then ayasakyang nigachati. Okay, this word ayasakyang is actually based on, there's a word, oh, let me put the other people on the share screen. There's a common word in Pali, yasa, which means fame, honor, glory. Then the opposite of that is ayasa. You know, it's just negated. This means dishonor. What is some other? Disgrace is good, okay. Disgrace.
Infamy?
Okay. Maybe infamy is a bit strong. Okay, so actually, ayasa, for the word we have, is really the same form. It's actually formed out of ayasa. Yeah, so it's actually the same word as ayasa, with the same meaning, dishonor or disgrace. This form isn't very common. I think this is used in order to fill out the meter. The more common word that you'll see in other suttas will be ayasa. So we have sometimes pairs of opposites that one has to towards which one has to maintain equanimity. So we have yasa, fame, and ayasa, dishonor. Okay, so the person who is always getting angry undergoes dishonor or disgrace. And then nyati means his relatives. Mita means friends. And suhaja is similar to friend. What the dear ones, we could say. The word suhaja, it's actually interesting. It comes, you could see the derivation more clearly from the Sanskrit. I don't know how to get this. Yeah, the Sanskrit form is suhrid, which literally suggests good, and hrid is related to heart, the word for heart. So in Sanskrit, the word for heart is hridaya. And in Pali, that becomes hridaya. And so suhaja is derived from su plus hridaya. And so the heart is the seat of feeling. So those for whom one has the good feeling are one's dear ones, one's loved ones. So these would be like the really very close, dear friends. Then parivajanti means avoid, to avoid. And kodanang is the angry person. In what case?
Accusative.
Okay, how many?
Singular.
Right, it's accusative singular. Okay, so the person who is maddened with the madness of anger undergoes dishonor, and his relatives, friends, and dear ones avoid the angry person. Any questions on this? Okay, see you.
In both, like the previous one, Kodha Vibhuto, and here Kodha Sammada Sammato.
Yeah.
Why isn't Kodha in instrumental?
Because these are compounds.
So it loses the...
Yeah. In compounds, generally, with very few exceptions, the declension termination vanishes.
Okay.
So in the compound, the simple stem form of the word is used. Any other questions?
Bhante?
Yeah.
Yeah, what does Nati mean? I missed that. Nati Mita. Mita's friend. What does Nati mean?
Nyati means relative. Relatives.
Okay, thank you.
It's actually, the word Nyati is based on the root Nya and the noun Jnana, knowledge. So Nyati are those who are, literally, those who are known. So one's acquaintances, but it takes on the meaning of one's relatives, family relatives. Okay, next. Anatta Janano Kodo.
Anatta Janano Kodo.
Kodo Chita Pakopano.
Kodo Chita Pakopano.
Bayam Antarato Jatam.
Bayam Antarato Jatam.
Tangjano Navi Bujati.
Tangjano Navi Bujati.
Okay, so first, the first line. We have here a compound. Anatta Janano Kodo. So we've already had anatta, which means harm. And janana means producing. That which produces. And then kodo, of course, is anger. So anger, then we should understand that this is like an equational sentence or statement. Anger is a producer of harm. Then the next line, kodo chita pakopano. Pakopana means like disturbing, agitating. Let's see what they give. Yeah, they give shaking, upsetting, making turbulent. So, and then, of course, citta is mind. So anger is like a disturber of the mind. Anger is an agitator of the mind. Well, we could say anger causes agitation of mind. Okay, then the next two lines, I think we should read it taking the fourth line first. The word jano means a person. And then navabhujati, what is navabhujati? What is it?
That's an understanding.
Right. But how do we Right. It's a negation of a verb. So it's na plus avabhujati. So avabhujati means one understands, but this is negated, does not understand. So a person does not understand that, the object here is that, and what that is referring to is indicated in the previous line. That is bayang. Bayang can mean either subjective fear or external danger or objective danger. Here, I think it's the sense of danger is better. And then jatang means arisen or born. And antarato means from within. Yeah, this is given as the ablative of antara. Antara means within or inside oneself. And antarato is from within, from inside oneself. So a person, this is the angry person, does not understand that danger born from within, born from within oneself, arisen from within oneself. The danger is, of course, the anger itself and all of the trouble that follows from anger. Any question on this line or on this verse? The verses are not so easy, you know. But when I explain them, do they become clear?
Yes.
Okay. Did anybody try to do them on their own? Okay. Kudo, okay, next verse. Kudo atang nujanati.
Kudo atang nujanati.
Kudo dhammang napassati.
Kudo dhammang napassati.
Andatamang tadahoti.
Andatamang tadahoti.
Yang kodo sahate narang.
Yang kodo sahate narang.
So kudo also means one who is angry. So it's the same in meaning as kodana and kudo, both mean the same thing. Kudo is originally a past participle, angered, but when it stands on its own, it means one who is angered. Then atang nujanati, he does not know, the angry person does not know the good. He does not know what is beneficial, what is good. Then kudo dhammang napassati, the angry one does not see dhamma. So when the mind is overcome by anger, one can't see the truth of things. Then anda tamang tada hoti. So tada means then, at that time, there is, that's hoti, there is anda and tamang, both mean darkness. Maybe we can say gloom and darkness. The glossary gives deep darkness. Then yang, here functions with the meaning of when. And kodo, of course, is anger. And the verb sahate means overcomes. And then narang is a person, originally a man, but will be gender neutral, we'll say a person. So the putting it all together, the angry one, or one who is angered, does not know what is beneficial, does not know the good. One who is angered does not see Dhamma. Then there is darkness and gloom when anger overcomes a person. Any questions? I thought there would be at least one question.
The ending.
Yeah, that was the question I was expecting. The book didn't give any explanation of this?
I don't think so.
But it gives sahati.
Yeah, it just gives sahati. Okay, sahate is... This is, I think, what is called the reflexive form, or the middle voice, which is used in verse, occasionally in verse. And probably it's used rather than sahati because the vowel E has a heavier stress, so it fits the meter better. In prose, you don't see the middle form so often, but in verse, sometimes they're used. They also have a more like elegant flavor to them. What is that?
I looked at this chart.
Yeah.
And this ending of voice, I find it optative, middle voice optative.
That this is the middle voice optative.
There is a, I think. I mean, I found it there.
Let me just say if the commentary. says anything about sahate. It could also be the optative. Anger might. Saheya.
Not middle voice, just optative.
This is Uncle to the Nikaya 7, I think. Does anybody know what sutta number that is?
764.
64, okay. Goes as sahate simply with abhibhavati, overcomes. So I think it's middle voice. Let me see.
Chapter 11.
Yeah, yeah. You could see the present reflective voice, third person, singular, te instead of ti. Okay, any other questions on this?
It's really a verb, not an optative?
Well, optative is a verb, but this is indicative. Indicative is like the straight verb. Mm-hmm. It's the present indicative, but it's the reflexive voice. Okay, so let's go on to the next one. Nasahiri na otapang.
Nasahiri na otapang.
Nevacho hoti garavo.
Nevacho hoti garavo.
Kodena abhi butasa.
Kodena abhi butasa.
Nadipang hoti kinchinang.
Nadipang hoti kinchinang.
Okay, so nasa is, the note explains, it's na plus asa. So na is the negation, not asa is for one, for him. Then hiri is the sense of moral shame, and otapa is the sense of moral dread. So for one, for the person, there is no, that's the one who is angry, there is no sense of shame and no sense of dread or fear of the consequences. Then, navacho hoti garavo. Then the commentary explains vachanasa pi garubhavo na hoti, that there is no respectfulness even of his speech. So vacho here would be speech. It's a little strange to me. Garavo is reverence or respectfulness. So his speech is, there is no respectfulness of his speech, but I can't figure it out grammatically. Because vacha is feminine, but this is a masculine singular. Okay, I'm stumped by this one grammatically, but I know the meaning, but the grammar I can't explain. Okay, kodena abibutasa. Here you could see the compound is not used, and so here we have the instrumental. For one overcome by anger, na dipang. Dipa means island, and the island is taken to be a place of safety. And then kinchinung means any. And nahoti, there is not. So for putting it all together, for him, there is no sense of shame and no moral dread. His speech is not respectful. For one overcome by anger, there is no island or safety or security at all. You can say a kinchinang at all. Any questions?
And they for the dipang, how do we decide sometimes if it's, because they seem to have completely different meanings sometimes?
Yeah, it's actually two separate words. In Sanskrit, it would be two separate words. In Sanskrit, dipa, meaning island, would be dvipa, dv. But in Pali, that difficult combination of D and V disappears, so it becomes simply dipa. But dipa also, based on another verb, means light or lamp. And in Sanskrit, it's the same. Dipa is also used in Sanskrit. But in Pali, if you come across the word dipa, then you have to decide from the context whether it means island or light.
Because I seem to have seen be an island to oneself, or be a lamp unto oneself.
Yeah.
Both possibilities.
Theoretically, there's both possibilities, but I think it's pretty well established that it means island.
Oh, okay.
It sounds nice, be a light unto yourself. But the idea is that one becomes an island unto yourself. And that one creates a place of safety or security for oneself by practicing the four foundations of mindfulness.
Thank you.
And then when those passages were translated into Sanskrit, then the Sanskrit translators used dvipa as island. So that confirms that it means island. So these verses, I have to say again, are not so... when I translated Anguttara Nikaya, I had to struggle quite a bit with them.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
Just on that phrase that's hard to understand grammatically, the Navacho Hoti Garbo.
Yeah.
Is it possible that it could mean... I mean, it sounds like maybe you could mean a variety of things. I think you said his speech is not respectful.
Yeah.
But maybe his speech is not respected either. Would that be possible that others don't respect his speech? Or is it clear that we're talking about... Or maybe he doesn't... The person themselves also doesn't really have respect for their own speech.
No, that last meaning wouldn't apply. Yeah, I don't know. It just, you can see the commentary on your screen, which I put up on my screen.
Yeah.
So the commentary just says, vachanasa, that means of speech, of statements, P, garu bhavo, respectfulness or reverence, nahoti, there is not. So there is no reverence even of speech. It could be that others don't respect his speech, or his speech is not respectful either, is possible. But the same grammatical problem remains. It doesn't solve the grammatical problem.
Sure.
Which is why vacho, instead of having vacha, I don't know.
Is it possible it's just simply for the sound? Instead of saying Navacha, they said Navacho.
It's possible. Any idea?
Basically.
For the sound?
Yeah.
Okay, probably for the sound.
Unrespectful words, speech.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on to the next passage then. So this is from the Questions of King Milinda. It's a post-canonical work. Okay, so I'll read again and then pause. Raja Aha.
Raja Aha.
King Lucano Bhante Manasikaro.
King Lucano Bhante Manasikaro.
King Lucana Panya.
King Lakana Panya.
Okay, so Raja means the king. And you remember that the noun Raja, it ends in the long A, the nominative, because the stem form is Rajan with the A-N ending. Something like Brahman, which becomes Brahma, or Atan, which becomes Atta, self. So Rajan becomes Raja, the king. This is King Melinda. Said, Aha means said. And then the question, King Lakano Bhante Manasikaro. So the subject here is in the nominative, Manasikaro. Manasikaro, sometimes translated attention, but maybe here, something like reflection maybe works better. And then the other noun in the second phrase is panya, which is usually translated wisdom. And now he's asking, you see, in English we would say, what is the characteristic of reflection? What is the characteristic of wisdom? But the way the question is formed in Pali, at least one way to formulate the question, is to have the subject treated as a nominative, and then you put the, to formulate, let us go to the answer. It's easier for me to explain this point in terms of the answer than the question. Okay, so we have the answer. This is the monk Nagasena is speaking. He says, Uhana Lakano Ko Maharaja.
Uhana Lakano Ko Maharaja.
Manasikaro.
Manasikaro.
Chaitana Lakana Panya.
Chaitana Lakana Panya.
Okay, now the subject here, Manasikara, is qualified by a particular compound. In this case, Uhana Lakana. This kind of compound is called, have you heard Bahubihi compound before? Have I mentioned it before?
Yes.
Okay, Bahubihi compound is where you take two words, or even more than two words, and join them into a compound and use that compound as an adjective to describe some other noun. So we could call Bahubihi compound, maybe you call it an adjectival compound. That is, it's a compound functioning as an adjective. Do we have any Bahubihi compounds in English? What do we call this?
Pointing to your computer?
Yeah. Yeah, we call this a laptop computer. Okay, so laptop, we take the word lap and top. Okay, those are combined, but the laptop computer, in the phrase laptop computer, laptop isn't actually referring to the top of my lap, but it is referring to a computer. But it's called a laptop computer because it's supposed to be so convenient that you can just take it and put it on your laptop.
Like that would be a desktop? The screen that you're looking at is called a desktop, isn't it? Desktop. At least it is for a Mac. Desktop.
Yeah.
There's no real desk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess you could take it that way. Another one might be a two-car garage. it means maybe the garage is filled not with cars, but you're storing all of your old furniture, but you still call it a two-car garage. Okay, so here, in this sentence, we have uhana lakana. You see, lakana means characteristic. This is Chinese xiang. Yeah. Yeah, xiang. That's what I said, yeah. Uhana, very unusual word. You see, it means like striking against. But they give, okay, reasoning, consideration, examination. And so, uhana, examination, is joined with lakana, characteristic, to form an adjective describing manasikara, reflection. So in English, we would translate reflection, that's manasikara, has the characteristic of examination. But in Pali, it's literally examination characteristic reflection. And then Chaitana Lakana Panya. So Chaitana means cutting through or cutting off. Again, Lakana is characteristic. And then Panya is wisdom. So wisdom, we would say wisdom has the characteristic of cutting off or cutting through. But literally, it's cutting off characteristic wisdom. So cutting off characteristic becomes an adjective describing wisdom, and examining characteristic becomes an adjective describing manasikara, reflection. So we call this in Pali need the long eye. Where are you? It's called Bahu Bihi compound. Yeah, Bahu Bihi. It literally means much rice. Because it was used to describe a field with much rice would be called the Bahu Bihi Ketang. Probably be called Bahu Bihin Ketang. So So the Bahu, again, to explain it, the Bahu-Bihi compound, it's a compound in which we take two words and join them to form a compound which is functioning as an adjective describing some other noun. But sometimes the other noun might not be explicitly mentioned, but just implied. Just like I don't have to say this is a laptop computer, but I could say this is a laptop. But when I say this is a laptop, you don't think of the top of my lap, but you think of the computer. If I'm coming into an airport and the guard says, and I have come from some remote island in the South Pacific, and the guard says, but somehow I learn English, the guard says, I have to examine the contents of your laptop. I'll say, how dare you? Okay, so then the king asks, do you want to take a break now? This is really strenuous. How come? I didn't say we're taking a break. I just asked the question. Okay, we'll take a break. Okay.
Just, we did just come.